Well, he said, something about trying. I'll try to be very trying.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
I'll stand behind the pulpit, yes.
Hang on a second. I'm going to pass this around. It's a birthday card for Hal. He's 96, I said.
Really?
Wow. 96, I said, Hal. Pass it down while Rich is talking.
Yeah, don't interrupt me. Just talking very silently.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to stand behind this because it will protect me from your rocks, which I'm going to throw.
Is this mic on? Is your mic on?
What's that?
Is your mic on?
Well, I turned it on, but it probably doesn't work. Yeah, it's got a green light on.
I can turn it up.
It's got a green light on. All right. All right, can y'all hear me? Down a little bit?
No.
A little bit up?
No, you're really.
Aaron, I'm sorry.
Can't hear you, Ken.
Oh.
No, not directional.
Put it down.
What? Oh, am I too low?
No, I'm here.
Oh, what about it?
That's not connected.
Oh, okay.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, that's not.
No, that's not my mic.
Oh.
This goes, no. Gentlemen, you got to understand, this goes straight to the FBI and CIA.
Flip it on his beard.
All right. Well, I'm going to open with a word of prayer because I need lots of help.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you are, you have knelt down to help us. And you sent your only begotten Son to become one of us and to die for us and to be resurrected for us. And we thank you for this holy week in which we remember these most holy events, these extraordinary supernatural events. And we pray that you be with us this morning. Be with me. Give me the help that I need. You know I need lots of help. And help me say something that's helpful to these gentlemen in order that we might all together glorify you. And I pray in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Well, Jim, okay, now I promise I'll keep this under 3 hours. So you should be on your way home by at least noon, okay? All right. So today is a day of great paradox. What is today?
Good Friday.
Why don't we call it Black Friday? What is the worst thing that has ever happened in the whole history of the universe?
Crucifixion of Christ.
The crucifixion of Christ. Well, we call it Good Friday?
What's the best thing that happened?
Oh, now you're stealing my thunder here. See, the odd paradox, and this is where it really comes to a maximal height, is that the very worst thing that has ever happened in the whole history of the universe is the death and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only perfect man who ever lived, and the incarnate Son of God. But paradoxically and extraordinarily, it is also the very best thing that has ever happened in the whole universe. We know it was followed by, we don't call it Black Friday, we call it Good Friday, because it is followed by Holy Saturday when Jesus was in the tomb, and then on Sunday morning, he broke out of the tomb and he destroyed the powers, the dark powers, the powers of the evil one, the powers of the devil. And he rose up and he took he's taking his people with him. And he has conquered death and he has conquered sin and he has conquered Satan. Now, gentlemen, that becomes the model for our whole lives. I want to hold up a couple of books here. How many of you you ever heard of a, he actually wrote a lot of books. He was a chaplain in the Army. His name was Merlin Carruthers. Anybody here ever hear of Merlin Carruthers? Couple of you have, because you've heard me speak before. I recommend his books. They're still available. Something happened to Carruthers. Well, Carruthers, we don't have time to go into this whole story, but the story's interesting. He was a fatherless young man. He ended up getting in trouble. He joined the Army, and he was a spitting splatoon. And in the Army, one day he I'm restless. So he and a buddy of his went out and stole a car, and they did some other bad things, and they ended up getting arrested. He had to go to jail for a while. Then he actually got converted later on in life, a little later in life. If you've been in prison, then you can't go into the service. He became a pastor, but he really felt called to be a chaplain, which became a possibility because I couldn't tell you which president it was or exactly when it was, but the president issued a pardon for a whole bunch of minor offenses, and he got a pardon. So he was able to go back into the Army, and he became a chaplain in the Army. And he was a pretty good chaplain, I think. Spent some time in Vietnam as a chaplain. And then he was sent to Fort Benning, Georgia. Came back to the States, and it was here where he made what was his great discovery. And he began to have, he began to say, God, I want to enter into this joy that I'm reading about. He said, God, how can I do that? And he kept finding various verses in the Bible. I'm going to just look at a couple of these. The one I want to look at here is 2 Corinthians, if you've got a Bible, 12, the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 9th and 10th verses. And Paul says this. In 2 Corinthians, by the way, Paul is very autobiographical through all of 2 Corinthians. He talks a whole lot about his sufferings. But here he says, I'm going to start a little earlier than that. I'll start with about the 6th verse. Though if I wish to boast, I shall not be a fool, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. And to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and keep me from being too elated. Now, that doesn't sound too pleasant, does it? Sounds like you get sent out to sleep in some thorn bush or something. 3 times I besought the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, that verse, when Carruthers went to Fort Benning, he was already a seasoned chaplain, but he was trying to, God, there's more. And what started to come to him were verses like this. Paul says, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, but when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And it began to come to him through a series of verses in the Bible that when he experiences hardships and difficulties, he was to thank God for those and praise God for those. Now remember, our great model is what we call Good Friday. What's the worst thing that's ever happened in history? The crucifixion of Christ. That is clearly the worst thing that has ever happened in history. What's the best thing that's ever happened in history? Well, yes, but we can also come back from this and say yes Sunday, but Good Friday, we call it Good Friday, was the crucifixion of Christ because Jesus at that point became our sacrifice, died for us. It's the best thing that ever happened in history. Yes, culminated by the resurrection, and that's what brings it all together. So, if that's the case, cosmically, in the biggest way imaginable, what about the little things that we experience? And, you know, we might not think there's a little. Marital difficulties, which are not easy to live with. Difficulties with our children, which are not easy to live with. Great disappointments in our vocational life, which are not easy to live with. Now, what Carruthers began to see and experience was, you know what? When people come to me for counsel because there is some terrible thing that's happened in their life, he began to encourage them to thank God for what has happened. And their response to that sort of initially was, what? I'm going to read you a little bit of a particular account. Let's see if I can find it here. Sue, it's a girl named Sue, and her hubby was in Vietnam. Now Sue was an adoptee, so she never knew her real parents, and then she became alienated from her adopted family. And all she had was her hubby. And her hubby's name was Ron, and he was in the military. And he was told he was going to go to Vietnam. And she just fell apart. And she decided that she was going to commit suicide. Because there's nothing left to live for. Well, the long, I could read this to you. It'd be better in one sense if I read it to you. But it might take a little long. In any case, they ended up going to Merlin Carruthers for counsel. And Carruthers, by this time, was beginning to experiment with the whole thing of thanking God and praising God for our trials. So he suggested that that's what they should do. Let's get down on our knees and thank God that Ron is going to Vietnam. What? Are you out of your mind? Well, they worked through this, and they said, well, then here's what happened. And this is a bit miraculous. And oftentimes when God is starting to teach us something, he will let something really stunning happen. If you guys praise God for your trials, you might not see something this miraculous happen, but something good is going to come out of it. But this is quite remarkable. So she had come back to the office. Sue had come back to the office. Maybe I can just tell you this story. And somebody was there to see the chaplain as well, and they just got to chatting while they're sitting out there in the office waiting. And they got a little personal, and she said, "What are you here for?" And she said, "Well, my wife wants a divorce." And she said, "Well, good luck seeing this chaplain. He's not going to do any good." They got to talking, and he took out, somehow or other, the long and short of it is, he started to take pictures out of his wallet to show to her, and he showed her a picture of his mother. And she looked at that woman and she said, "That's my mother." She had actually seen from the adoption agency, she had seen a picture of her. "That's my mother." "What?" Well, actually, when they went to, it was her mother. He was her brother. Probably maybe a half brother, but he was a brother. And it turned out that she ended up with a whole family that she knew nothing about. And this is what followed: praising God, getting on her knees and thanking God that her husband was going to Vietnam and she's going to be left all alone. And then it also turned out to be the case that her husband, who had legal training, was invited into one of the legal wings of the Army and didn't go to Vietnam. Now, that's a rather spectacular story, but it makes the point. Anybody know what happening off the top of your head where Acts 16 is about? What happens in Acts 16? Well, I'll tell you part of the story and I'll read part of it. Paul is in Macedonia, and there's a slave girl in Macedonia who follows them around, and she has a familiar spirit, demonic spirit. She knows all these things. And the man that owns her has gotten rich off of her because she knows these things demonically about people, and she goes about sort of doing these dark prophecies. But she's completely, you know, she's oppressed and overwhelmed by this demonic spirit. Well, so Paul at some point turns around and rebukes the spirit, and the spirit leaves her. Well, that's a wonderful thing, but it did not make the man who owned her happy because he'd gotten rich off of her. So, because he has a lot of influence in the city, he gets dragged away, and Paul and Silas, the long and short of it is they get thrown into prison. And they get whipped, you know, on your naked back. I can't even imagine that, getting whipped on your bare skin. They get whipped, and then they get sent off to prison, and they are in stocks, you know, like this, with your feet as well. And they're in prison there, and you know what their response to this is? Should be, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown and complain and be really, no, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Okay, so they're praising God in the midst of their trials. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's fetters were unfastened. And when the jailer woke, he saw that the prison doors were open. Now what would happen to a Roman guard if this prisoner escaped? Yeah, he got the death penalty. That's exactly right. When he woke and he saw the prison doors were open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed, and they rushed in, trembling with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Men," and this is what the jailer says, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And how many of you have gone out to do evangelism and somebody falls down at your knees and says, "What must I do to be saved?" That happened to Paul here. And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And he ends up taking them to his own home and washes their wounds. And Paul baptizes him and his whole family. And it's a remarkable story. When it was day, the magistrate sent the police saying, "Let those men go." Now, you know what happens now? He said, "Let them go. And Paul says, "Well, I don't think so. See, I'm a Roman citizen, and I was taken away and beaten without any due justice being given to me at all. And then they're terrified, they're scared to death. But Paul leaves, he ends up leaving peaceably. But it all comes back on. But the point being, here is a dramatic story of what happens when we praise God in the midst of our trials. Now, I came across Merlin Carruthers. I'm not going to go on and on about this, but I came across him at a certain point in my life. When I had certain difficulties that were going on, and I read Merlin Carruthers, and Merlin Carruthers said I should praise God for those difficulties. I began to do that, and you know what? A whole lot of good began to come out of those difficulties. Really wonderful thing. Now, I'm here to suggest that all of you should do the same. When you have difficulty, I mean, we can think of terrible things. Oh, I went to the doctor and I found out I had cancer. Well, that's a pretty terrible thing. Should I praise God in the midst of that? The answer is yes. Will God bring good out? Look, if God can bring good out of the, you know, crucifixion was designed to be as horrible a death as was humanly conceivable. You hang there for, could be several days, and eventually you suffocate because you can't breathe. It's a horrible, horrible death. If God can bring good out of that, what is there in our lives that God can't bring good out of? And what's the segue to getting to that place? The segue is praising God for the difficulty. And when that happens, when we are able to do that, the Lord will begin to do things, and He will bring, unimagined, how can any good come out of this? Oh, yes, it can. Because God's a whole lot more clever than we are. He's a whole lot more able than we are. And He can take the very worst things and the very worst circumstances and bring the most extraordinary good out of them. And that's how it happens. I want to suggest to you, it's one of the major fulcrums of how God brings good into the world. This is a fallen world. It's a terrible thing. But out of all of that good, because Jesus has sent His only begotten Son, who died on the cross and was raised on Easter morning, God now, through faith, and what Jesus has done will bring good out of all of our trials. And if you will, the entryway into that is praising God in the midst of trials. Mm-hmm. Look, the prison doors flew open and Paul said, honestly, what could be worse? Paul has just done a wonderful thing and now he's getting persecuted for it. His back is raw, and I can't even imagine. You gotta sit in this thing with, you know, your, like, worse than handcuffs and feet cuffs. You gotta sit in this thing, and you're probably cold inside this prison at night. It's prison. It's not a, it's bars and it's rock walls and so on. And they're praising God? Come on, isn't this a good time to complain about, why is this my fate? Why do I have to suffer this way? I was doing good things. No, what we're called to do is to praise God in the midst of all circumstances. And the promise is that God will bring unimagined good out of that. Praise God, gentlemen. Now I'm going to close with prayer. And remember, God makes all things work together for good. And the segue into that is praising God for those difficulties. Father in heaven, we do thank you not because our difficulties are good in and of themselves, not because evil is good in and of itself, but because you've made it the fulcrum for your redemptive power to be at work in the world, and you have given us a way, if you will, for these evils to be transformed into good. That our lives are full of Good Fridays, and our lives are also full of Easters. We are given resurrection power. The resurrection power comes through crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Father, we are given trials, and we have terrible things sometimes that we suffer in this world, but you have promised to bring unimaginable good out of all of those realities. And I praise you even for our sufferings, difficulties, dark days and nights, because you have promised to bring resurrection to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who experienced this to the very maximum through his own death and resurrection, and now gives it to us. I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I got a question. Yes. So you use two terms kind of simultaneously or interchangeably. When you said praise God in the midst of our difficulties, okay, and then you said praise God for our difficulties. So what are you saying? In the midst of and for are kind of?
What kind of both? God will take this particular, I'm in the midst of it, but God will take this particular trial and he will bring good out of it. So yes, in a very real, I don't want to make the error here saying that somehow evil is good. It's not. It's, don't mistake it that way. But what I am saying is that God will bring good out of that specific evil. He will transform the effects of that evil in us and in those around us and in the world in unimaginable ways if we praise him. Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Well, I'm just going to, forgive me for jumping in here, but there's a scripture that anybody here want to know the will of God? Anybody? All right. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Everything means
everything.
Everything. And another Christian man said, yeah, but not for everything. I said, you haven't read Galatians, because in Galatians it says, for everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. And the last thing I'll say is Spurgeon said, if you understand the sovereignty of God, you will understand that nothing happens to you that doesn't go through his fingers first. So you can give thanks in all things. And they're all thanks, Rich. That was great.
Yeah. Yes, hold on a minute. Yeah, hold on.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. Let me. A minute.
Just two things. Merle, from what's the name of the book?
Well, this one, which is this kind of autobiography, is called Prison to Praise. I brought another one. He actually has written a number of books that I'd recommend. You can get them on Amazon. I'd recommend them. This is another one. What this is, Merlin Carruthers' Praise Works, and what began to happen to him was people began to do this, and they began to have extraordinary experiences and began to write letters to Carruthers to tell him about what had happened. Well, this book is all, it's these testimonies from people who wrote to him, letters and so on, about things that happened to people when they began to praise God for their difficulties.
Okay,
this
now,
is called Praise Works.
I've got a second question here.
Yeah.
Kind of following what Ed is saying. This happened years and years ago. Back in the day, building in a subdivision, and I knew a competitor,
Four, three. Anyway, one day I go down and pick up a building from it at the city, and did you hear that? About Robert, no. What happened? Well, his son. What happened to his son? What happened was,